الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله، الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء، وانحسرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته وردعت عظمته العقول، والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البتحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء، وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد،
لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه رساخت الأرض بأهلها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: الذين يتبعون الرسول النبي الأمي الذي يجدونه مكتوبا عندهم في التوراة والإنجيل يأمرهم بالمعروف وينهاهم عن المنكر ويحل لهم الطيبات ويحرم عليهم الخبائث ويضع عنهم إصرهم والأغلال التي كانت عليهم. صلوات I would like to congratulate all of you on the occasion of the Mi'raj of the Holy Prophet and the occasion of his Bi'sat, which is on the 27th of Rajab and is considered to be certainly the biggest blessing of Allah for the humankind, where the humankind witnessed the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam to be officially starting his propagation activity by the command of Allah. And as far as the Mi'raj is concerned, this is something we have variety of narrations talking about different dates regarding Mi'raj. Some of the scholars have mentioned 27th of Rajab, whereas some others have said 17th of the holy month of Ramadan as the Laylatul Mi'raj. And some other scholars have mentioned 27th of the month of Ramadan. And the difference in narrations in the riwayat, our muhaddithin say, maybe the difference is because of the fact that the Mi'raj did not happen once only. Actually, the Mi'raj, according to the hadith of Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, how it is narrated by Muhaddith Qummi, rahmatullah alayhi, that the Mi'raj took place 120 times. So when Prophet was invited as a guest of Allah 120 times, it makes sense if you find several narrations talking about several dates, because our scholars say, because the Mi'raj did not happen once only. And also there is a controversy among the scholars and muhaddithin that Mi'raj took place from which site. Some of the muhaddithin say that Prophet was taken on Mi'raj and ascension from the Sha'ab of Abi Talib alayhi salam. Whereas some say, no, he was taken from the Mi'raj from the house of his sister, Ummu Hani, salamullahi alayha. Whereas some others say, he was taken to the Mi'raj from Al-Masjid Al-Haram. Al-Masjid Al-Haram means the most sacred mosque where the Holy Kaaba is located. And some of the scholars have said that Prophet was taken to Mi'raj and Ascension from the city of Makkah, not necessarily from the Masjid Al-Haram, because the entire city is the Masjid, is the Haram of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have various aqwal from the scholars about the point of start of his Mi'raj. And likewise, we have at least two qawl and statements of the scholars about where he was taken to soon after his departure from Makkah. Some say he was taken to this Masjid al-Aqsa, which is in the city of Jerusalem, Bayt al-Muqaddas, which is occupied by the Zionists. And we commemorate the Yawm al-Quds announced by Imam Khomeini Ridwanullahi alayh on the last Friday of the month of Ramadan to remember this issue and to keep it alive for our generations to remember. And some say, no, this was not the Masjid al-Aqsa that was meant when Allah talks about in Surah al-Isra, سُبْحَانَ الَّذِي أَسْرَى بِعَبْدِهِ لَيْلًا مِنَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ إِلَى الْمَسْجِدِ الْأَقْصَى الَّذِي بَارَكْنَا حَوْلَهُ لِنُرِيَهُ مِنْ آيَاتِنَا. This Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa mentioned in the verse from Surah Al-Isra does not talk about this specific mosque located in Jerusalem, Bayt al-Muqaddas. Instead, the ayah talks about Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, which is on the fourth heaven, because that is the farthest mosque available. But bottom line is that in all those times and occasions when Prophet was invited for Mi'raj, the hadith of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam informs us that in all those 120 times invitations, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked about the walayat of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salatu wa salam as the most important agenda item of discussion. So, which again signifies the fact how much importance Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala holds for the walayat of the Prophet and walayat of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salatu wa salam. We cannot give the due importance to that subject. No matter how much we serve, we will still be falling short of the duties that we have on our neck towards the walayat of Ahlul Bayt. And coming to the subject of the Mab'as, the Eidul Mab'as, that means the celebration we have about the Prophet being commanded officially by Allah to start his propagation on the occasion of 27th of Rajab, and where we find that according to the hadith of Imam Al-Askari alayhi salatu wassalam, that Allah found the qalb of the Holy Prophet as the best of the qulub, the best of the hearts. So Allah provided another nur to the Holy Prophet, and all the doors of the heavens were opened up for him, and angels were pouring down in the form of armies, one after the other, towards the Holy Prophet. And from his head till the arsh of Allah, it was Allah's rahmat everywhere connected. Allah's rahmat was there. And then finally, Jibreel arrived. Then some of the narrations say that Jibreel with 70,000 angels and Mikael with 70,000 angels arrived on the Holy Prophet. And Jibreel moved his hand, the hand of the Holy Prophet, and said, Ya Muhammad, Iqra. That means read. And Prophet replied, Ma Aqra. That means, what shall I read? Which had been interpreted wrongfully by some of the sects of Islam. They took the Ma in Arabic as Ma An-Nafiya, instead of the fact that Ma was Istifamiya. It was an interrogative word. It was not a word in negating, it's not my nafia according grammatically speaking, and they they mention their prophet, what he means that I cannot read. But this is not what the prophet said, I cannot read. What he said, what shall I read? So then Jibreel said, you know, that Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq, which is of course the first ayat of Holy Quran, the beginning of the revelation of Holy Quran. And then of course Prophet started repeating, reading that those verses of Holy Quran. And and after that recitation, the kursi, the chair of Izzat and Karamat, was brought by Jibreel, and the taj and crown of Nubuwwat was put on the head of Rasulullah, and the Liwa'ul Hamd, the name of Prophet's flag and the banner that he carries and will be with him on the Day of Judgment, but it will be carried by Imam Ali alayhi salam, Liwa'ul Hamd li wa Aliyun hamiluhu, like he has said in his hadith that the flag of Hamd belongs to me, but Ali is the carrier of the flag. So that Liwa'ul Hamd, the Liwa'ul Hamd, that means the flag of Hamd and praise of Allah, was handed over to the Holy Prophet. And later on, when he came down from the cave of Hira, in the outskirts of the city of Mecca, back to his house, he had so much nur of Jalal and majesty of Allah coming out of him that everything around was doing sajda towards the Holy Prophet. And not just that, but announcing everything, every existence around him on his way back was talking to the Prophet saying, As-salamu alayka ya Nabi Allah, As-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah. So everyone was saying salam on the Holy Prophet. And finally, when he came in his house and asked Hazrat Khadija salamullah alayha to wrap him with a cloth, he was feeling cold. So, and Hazrat Khadija salamullah alayha provided the cloth for him, and he wrapped the cloth. So after that occasion, when he was relaxing, this verse of Holy Quran was revealed upon him. And some of the scholars have mentioned that this is the first revelation on the Holy Prophet. Actually, this was not the first revelation, this was the second one. Which Allah said, Ya ayyuhal muddathir, qum fa'anzir, wa rabbaka fa'kabbir. So these verses arrived in the house, in the hujra, in the house of Hazrat Khadija, salamullahi alayha. So Prophet stood up after receiving that, Ya ayyuhal muddathir means, O you, the one who is enwrapped in the cloth. Or you who has wrapped the cloth around, you know, that means someone who wrapped the cloth around himself. Stand up and warn the people. That means warn the people about the azab and punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa rabbaka fakabbir. That means do the takbir, glorify, do the takbir of your Lord. Remember your Lord with greatness. And Prophet started to say Allahu Akbar after receiving that verse, and the riwayat says that everything was, every existence was repeating and saying Allahu Akbar after the Holy Prophet. And 3 years of his propagation was the hidden procedure of propagating Islam hiddenly, till this verse was revealed upon him. That Allah said, فَاسْدَعْ بِمَا تُؤْمَرْ وَأَعْرِضْ عَنِ الْمُشْرِكِينَ إِنَّا كَفَيْنَاكَ الْمُسْتَهْزِئِينَ. So after receiving this verse of Holy Quran, Prophet started his propagation openly. And you know, that's how his propagation activity was became open among in the whole community. Now, the point that I would like to mention tonight for us to remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided this greatest blessing for us in the form of the greatest messenger and the greatest sharia and the greatest book and the greatest level of hidayat to the ummah of the Holy Prophet. And this hidayat provided by the greatest messenger is basically equally provided to all. So no one can complain on the Day of Judgment that I was deprived of the hidayat from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. In some instances, the Quran talks about the fact that hidayat is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And basically, Allah guides whomsoever He wishes, to guide. And Allah misguides whomsoever He wishes to misguide. Like in this verse from Surah Ibrahim, verse number 4, فَيُظِلُّ اللَّهُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. So Allah misguides the one whom He wishes and guides the one whom He wishes, and He is the Aziz and Hakim. So this kind of, and several other verses of Holy Quran where the guidance has been directly related to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also in this verse, the misguidance is related to Allah. This raises the question in the minds of the people that is, if the guidance and misguidance is in Allah's control, then why, what is the benefit of sending the prophets? Allah Himself guides, Allah Himself misguides. And if Allah also misguides, then what's the benefit of guiding the people when He is the one who Himself misguides? And also it raises the question that basically human beings have no ikhtiyar and no freedom, because Allah is the one who guides and Allah is the one who misguides. So where is the freedom that we enjoy? So if we get misguided, it's in the hands of Allah, and if we get guided, it's in the hands of Allah. These are some of those very commonly raised objections about the concept of hidayat and izlal. Hidayat and izlal, that means guidance and misguidance. In order to understand the concept, we need to realize that hidayat has been classified by our scholars into two categories, hidayatun takwiniyya and hidayatun tashri'iyya. Unless and until you understand the classification of hidayat in two classifications, in two kinds, you will never be able to understand that whether or not Allah misguides or whether or not Allah guides. So, as hidayatun takwiniyya means the hidayat and guidance which is given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Takwin is derived from the word al-kawn in Arabic, which means al-wujud. Al-kawn means al-wujud. That means the hidayat and guidance provided to every mawjud, every existence. Allah has guided every single existence that He created, without any exception. Every existence is guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even, see, look at the verse of Holy Quran. It says, أَوْحَى رَبُّكَ إِلَى النَّحْلِ. Your Lord sent His wahi on the honeybee. The honeybee received the wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَوْحَى رَبُّكَ إِلَى النَّحْلِ. Even the animals received the guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everyone was guided. This is, we are talking about al-hidayat al-takwiniyya, the hidayat which is by birth, by nature, by virtue of existence. Allah provided to every existence this kind of this level and this kind of guidance to all. And all the existences around us can never deviate from the path of guidance that Allah formatted them on that path. They can never even think of getting derailed from that track. So they do always according to how they are formatted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the hidayatun takwiniyya, which has zero deviation, zero inhiraf. No one can get sidetracked from the hidayatun takwiniyya. This is the nature of hidayatun takwiniyya. Just like the those parts of the human body which have nothing to do with the taklif ash-shar'i. So these are also receiving the hidayat al-takwiniyah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For instance, our stomach, our lungs, our this pumping physical heart which is pumping the blood, our veins, our kidneys, these are all, they have received the hidayat al-takwiniyah. They have been formatted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to perform the desired assigned task. They never get deviated from their assigned task, and they are doing as commanded. Can never ever deviate. You can never find the stomach of a person disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's command. It can never happen. It always performs, even whether it's the stomach of a Muslim or a mu'min or a kafir or a murtad or a mu'anid or a munafiq. Really doesn't matter. Every single mawjood in the universe is behaving according to the assigned task, and it can never deviate. So that's why you try to put meat in front of a horse, it's not going to consume the meat. Because again, it's against the al-hidayat al-takwiniyah. He was never guided, he was never formatted by Allah to eat the meat. And you put carrots in front of a tiger, tiger is not going to consume the carrots, because he was never formatted by Allah, never allowed by Allah to consume those things. So you would be wasting your time, because like I said already, the beauty of al-hidayat al-takwiniyah, there is zero deviation, zero inhiraf. And then the second form of hidayat is the al-hidayat al-tashri'iyyah. That means the hidayat which is related to the tashri' and legislation. Legislation of the laws revealed through the wahi and revelation upon the Holy Prophet's qalb. All those laws which Prophet announced to us for our guidance, which are part of the sharia revealed upon him through the wahi. Obeying Allah or disobeying Allah is in our control. We have been given the freedom to obey or to disobey, to be muti' or to be asi, to follow or not to follow. This is our choice. The humans and jinns have the choice to follow. So look at the Holy Quran in Suratul Balad, verse number 10. وَهَدَيْنَاهُ النَّجْدَيْنِ. We have guided him, النَّجْدَيْنِ. تمام خوبیہا و بدیہا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided us to choose the good or choose the bad. The choice is ours. He has informed us, this is good and this is bad. This is ma'roof and this is munkar. This is right and this is wrong. This is haq and this is batil. Now the choice, this is khair and this is shar. Now whatever we choose, we have complete freedom to choose whatever we choose from, the good and the bad. So this is what Allah provided when it comes to al-hidayat al-tashri'iyya. He showed us the way and showed us the good and the bad, and the choice is ours. And look at the verse from Surah Al-Dahr, Surah Al-Insan, verse number 3. Inna hadaynahu sabila imma shakiran wa imma kafura. Whether insan can do, you know, shukrun ni'mah or kufranun ni'mah. Whether you can be grateful towards the ni'mat of Allah or you can do kufran and you could deny the ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So basically it's in our control to do shukr and being grateful, be grateful towards His blessings, or to be dishonoring towards the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we are grateful, لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. If you thank, if you are grateful, Allah will certainly, certainly increase. So, and likewise, the Holy Prophet has been called, when Allah talks about the Holy Prophet, so Prophet is of course also a guide, in addition to the Holy Quran. Allah says about the Holy Prophet in Surah Ash-Shura, verse number 53, وَإِنَّكَ لَتَهْدِي إِلَىٰ صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. Certainly, you guide towards the straight path. وَإِنَّكَ لَتَهْدِي إِلَىٰ صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. This hidayat and guidance which is mentioned in this ayat of Surah Ash-Shura is also hidayatun tashri'iyya. This ayat is not talking about hidayatun takwiniyya, You know, this is also hidayatun tashri'iyya. We have the choice to accept it or not to accept it. Prophet will inform us about what is good and what is bad. But whether we accept it or we don't accept it, that's our choice. Likewise, the Holy Quran in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse number 2, you know, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ رَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدَلِّ الْمُتَّقِينَ. This is also hidayatun tashri'iyya. This is not hidayatun takwiniyya. This is a hidayatun tashri'iyya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided us, informed us about the guidance. You know, the Quran is the guidance. Quran tells us about what is right and what is wrong. Whether we accept it or become obedient, or we dishonor it and become disobedient, that is completely our choice. Now coming back to the verse from Surah Ibrahim, which I recited in the beginning, فَيُظَلُّ اللَّهُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. So Allah misguides those whom He wishes and guides those whom He wishes. Now coming back to that point, how can you combine these two points? In another verse of Holy Quran from Surah Al-Qasas, verse number 56, Allah says, إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ وَلَكِنُ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَهُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِالْمُهْتَدِينَ. You, talking to the Holy Prophet, you do not guide whom you love. You know, إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ. That means you cannot guide the one whom you love. وَلَكِنُ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Instead, Allah guides the one whom He wishes. وَهُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِالْمُهْتَدِينَ. And He knows more about, He is a'lam about the guided ones. So basically, also in Surah Al-Sajda, verse 13, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَوْ شِئْنَا لَأَتَيْنَا كُلَّ نَفْسٍ هُدَاهَا. If we wished, we would have provided every nafs its guidance. That means we would have had guided every human being, if we wished. But then, if that is the case, that every human was forcibly guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not with our choices, then there would have been no mujazat, there would have been no heaven and hell, there would have been no sawab and azab, there would have been no jaza, there would have been no day of judgment. We would be just like animals who are forcibly guided to do their assigned tasks. When animals are not going to go to the heaven or the hell, isn't that right? They don't have the day of judgment and they have no reward and no punishment. So basically, when does Allah start misguiding a person? Let's come back to the point that we want to realize. Allah initially guides every human being without exception. Everybody receives the guidance. Every human receives the hidayat at tashri'iyya from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now after receiving the hidayat at tashri'iyya, if we behave well and if we start becoming obedient towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah guides us towards the further levels of hidayat. And at a point, we receive the hidayat at takwiniyya from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the highest level of hidayat, because once you receive the hidayat at takwiniyya, you can never be misguided further, ever in your life. And if we do not behave well towards the hidayat al-tashri'iyya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what happens is that Allah gives us warnings. And if we do not heed to the warnings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He leaves us on our own situation in our own hands and just let us do what we want to do. This is what is called the misguidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah doesn't misguide in the real sense. Allah always guides. He never misguides. When we say Allah misguides, what it means is that this is the punishment from Allah towards those people who intentionally did not listen to the divine warnings and they continue to do their sins. So a time arrives when Allah leaves them to their own condition and their own situation, their own halat, and doesn't guide them any further. When we are left on our own situation, in our own halat, then we will automatically be misguided. Isn't that right? Look at the dua of the Holy Prophet where he says, Allahumma la takilna ila anfusina tarfata aynin abada. O my Lord, don't leave us towards to in the control of our own nafs. For even the blinking of an eye. This is the dua of the Holy Prophet. You know, even for a fraction of a second, if we are left up to our own desires, we will be devastated spiritually. This is exactly what happens to those people who are misguided. Allah doesn't misguide. What happens? Allah stops guiding them. Now they are left on their own. Whenever a person is left on his own, he will certainly be misguided. This is what happens because he didn't, you know, just imagine if somebody asks you, you know, I want to go to New York, so you guide him. Well, you got to take I-90 East. Isn't that right? So you told him I-90 East, but he starts moving towards I-90 West. You would say to him, hey, this is wrong. This is going to take you towards the Pacific Ocean. So don't go towards I-90 West. He doesn't listen to you. You can say maybe one more time or two more times. Don't go towards I-90 West. You don't you want to go towards New York? Then why are you going towards I-90 West? He doesn't listen to you. Will you continue just, you know, saying your statements to a deaf ear? A time would arrive that you would just stop talking. Let him do what he chooses to do. Isn't that right? This is exactly what is the meaning of, you know, misguidance from Allah. Allah is guiding everybody, but those of the people who are continuously doing sins after sins after sins, they ask for it. Allah stops guiding them any further. Leave them on their own. This is what we mean from the concept of misguiding. And those are the people who obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do this jihad. This is no less than a jihad, obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And look at the verse of Holy Quran from Surah An-Kabut, verse number 69. And I will end the speech here because we are close to the time of prayers. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُولَنَا. Those people who do jihad, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا. See, in this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani khudawan hidayat ra az asaru natayij jihad daniste. Yani if you perform the jihad in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of the asar, one of the results, one of the impacts, one of the nata'ij of the jihad is that Allah will provide you the guidance. So if you behave well, and if you stick on the straight path, if you keep on doing the obedience of Allah, Allah will provide you further levels of guidance. Further level of guidance, you will be guided because you are the one who behaved well and you listened to the previous warnings. Now you deserve to be guided further. And those people who disbehave towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will be left on their own. And like it is mentioned in Surah Al-Saff, verse number 5, فَلَمَّا زَاغُوا أَزَاغَ اللَّهُ قُلُوبَهُمْ. When they got deviated, when they became munharif, Allah made their qulub, their hearts munharif also. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of us to understand and to benefit from the hidayat of the Holy Prophet and to receive, to be eligible to receive the al-hidayat al-takwiniyya from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين واخذل الكفار والمنافقين اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واخذل من خذل المسلمين اللهم انصر واحفظ وأيد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين لا سيما الولي الفقيه قائد المسلمين اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين اللهم فك عن الأسراء المسلمين اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من انصاره واشياعه واتباعه واعوانه بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين.